Think Red Ink presents The Questions of Jesus. Profound meditations with author and host Don C. Harris. What did Jesus ask?
Section 4. Last Days of Christ. A man who was completely innocent offered himself as a sacrifice for the good of others, including his enemies, and became the ransom of the world. It was a perfect act. Mohandas K. Gandhi, referring to Jesus. Question 104. What think ye? Matthew 21:28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. There are many errors in man's thinking when it comes to doctrine, apologetics, and theology. We've taken simple Christianity and created a maze of hermeneutics and ontology, exegesis, and six other words we cannot use in a sentence. We've made a philosophy out of a lifestyle, and a lifestyle out of a philosophy. We would greatly improve our own understanding, not to mention pertinence and effectiveness in the world, if we brought our knowledge back down to a ground-level knowing, and not this painted-on or crammed-in type that's necessary to pass muster as an educated Christian. Many don't realize that education's true definition is to draw out or to bring out from within. Today, we put knowledge into a student or attempt to paint it onto him. But true education is to bring out what is known from within. Jesus was continually using this drawing out method when he taught. He would ask, "What do you think?" And then he would tell a story. Knowing what was in man, namely the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, he knew that it was enough, if unhindered by isms and ologies, to bring us to a right knowing, a ground of being or soundness. We all know within us what makes solid sense, what's right, what is good, what's evil, or what is illogical, or what is nonsensical, against nature and false. In some, these senses are more developed than others, and their mask are hindered in more so in some than others. Some people have ignored their conscience so long that it is virtually silent on all infractions and barely speaks above a whisper, even when a soul is in danger of eternal punishment. But all of us have it, and if heeded, it will bring us to our eternal home. If ignored, it will remain silent until the day we stand before the judge of all the earth, and then it will speak loudly to condemn us and render us without an excuse. Sometimes, when we hear doctrines or ideas about God or the Bible, we know within ourselves that they're nonsense or at least severely flawed. If we raise the question of their validity or ask for clarification, we're lambasted with a flurry of pet answers, trite sayings, cliches, using words of no clear definition. The seeker's made to feel that everyone in the world understands this, but he alone. With this kind of pressure, we succumb and concede that we must be mistaken or ignorant, or perhaps we lack education. It's even suggested we may be rebellious and possess a bad spirit. Adjectives like boat rocker are bandied, and we, in shame, give up and fall in line, choosing rather to be a team player. It behooves us to hold to the understanding we find within ourselves. It would benefit us to use the guide that God put within us to understand rather than to quiet God's voice and turn up the volume of education. When we succumb to the masses, we quiet that voice, the only true guide that we have. How dangerous it is to ignore our guide. As an instrument pilot, I learned how to forget how I feel and believe the instruments to arrive safely. As a Christian, I have learned to forget the instructors and believe my internal guidance. We all should exercise this gift and learn from God. The Scripture speaks to this. The mark of the new covenant Christian will be that he will not need a teacher to bring him along, but will know within. Jeremiah 31:31, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, and I will put my laws in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. And I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." We rejoice that the forgiveness of sin was a part of this, but we need to read again, "They all shall know me." You see, you can easily find good examples of Christians rejecting false doctrines simply by going from church to church and listening to the questions of the average Christian. Many are plagued with understanding the Trinity, the inerrancy of Scripture, and doctrines of predestination, election, and foreordination. There are disputes about the so-called sacraments, church membership, and what the essentials for salvation are. God's requirements of holiness and once saved, always saved doctrines are ever disputed. And these arguments go all the way back to the origin of the doctrines themselves. Why? Because the regenerate Christian rejects these man-made doctrines in the very core of their being. Within us, we develop spiritual indigestion by swallowing these man-made doctrines, and our teachers constantly have to pass out medications to alleviate the symptoms. The cause, spoiled spiritual meat, is ignored. If you want to find a false doctrine, look for the ones that are preached and taught constantly. They need to be taught over and over because they are regurgitated by the Spirit in man and must be reintroduced and ingested weekly. The people of Christ's day had their own once saved, always saved idea going. They assumed that because they were children of Abraham, that they were surely a part of the kingdom of God. Jesus caught them off guard by telling them a story and simply asking their opinion of right and wrong. He didn't ask them if they expected to be included in the kingdom to come. He asked them to judge this story with the light he knew was in them. Read this passage. "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. He came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, The first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." It becomes clear when they answered according to what they were taught or answered according to what they knew within, there were two different outcomes to the same story. When you hear doctrines that are hard to swallow, doctrines that go against the very spirit within you, you need to listen to the spirit within. If it's too illogical, too ridiculous, if it requires that you make concessions in your character or in your logic to believe them, these doctrines are better rejected until the Spirit of God reveals them to you as true or false. You need to be practical and use your innate ability to reason. It is our gift from God. believe it or not, you have the ability to understand. So, what think ye?
That's all for this time. You've been listening to Don C. Harris at Think Red Ink Ministries. Do you have questions or comments? We'd like to hear from you. Send an email to don@thinkredink.com. Join us again for the next episode of The Questions of Jesus.